All right, here we go. Doc, episode 104.
Wow.
I know. I'm digging it.
Yeah, man. Well, this one is powerful.
Weird. It is.
Yeah.
It is. I'm, you know, I think I'm always looking forward to doing this with you. It's always insightful. There's always new stuff that we're, you know, picking up while we go into the scripture.
Yeah, the Word of God.
Word of God.
A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
You know, listener, what we're doing, mark this episode 104, because this is the beginning of a series that we're doing on demons and deliverance, with a highlighted appearance of Pastor Lloyd Olds at the end of the month.
That's right.
So we're going to probably have, 3, 6, 9. There could be 9 episodes, 8 episodes before Lloyd gets here. But we want to start framing up what this looks like. And so today we're going to be looking at the life of Saul when he starts to get into trouble. So we're going to be past the fact that he becomes king. He's chosen out. He seems to be this humble guy. He's hiding. They have to bring him out and anoint him with oil. You know, he's a head taller than everybody else. He's like the guy right now.
A handsome guy.
We get to have a king. Everybody's like, yeah.
We can be like all the other nations.
Oh, man.
Ooh, is that a good thing?
Well, I think it addresses the fact that we long to belong.
And what does God say when the people say that? They say, oh, you guys, you finally have matured, my people. You want a king.
No.
Just like, no, he says through Sam, what does he say? You have not rejected.
He has not rejected you,
Samuel. Yeah. They have rejected me, God, that I should not reign over them.
Man.
Ooh, those are haunting words.
Have you experienced those kind of haunting words?
Ooh.
I think the evidence in my own life as a guy that has come in and out over my younger years, Doc, you told the line for, as we said, your great-grandmother spoke scripture over you as she walked you through, you know, the park.
In the stroller.
In the stroller.
Right.
A mother that brought you into the churches before you were,
before I was born. Right. Right. But I had my encounter with Jesus out on the North Dakota road in 97.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
And I have had my encounters with the Lord, too. I think I could have probably fallen down this path that we were on, that we're going to talk about today, which is basically when God stops speaking. You know, we're in a different covenant right now.
Right.
But God can, and God does, he stop talking to people today? Is that like, is this even a thing? Why are we going to address this today, Doctor? I'm going to throw that into your question.
Yeah, well, our general theme here now is demons and deliverance, so there are certain things that kind of pop up that want to be addressed. For example, this is a widespread phenomenon, Pete. It's happened in my own family several times, just in my short lifetime.
Right.
And it happens all around us, and that is when somebody dies, little time goes by, and pretty soon there is that person appearing and saying things, sometimes making demands or wanting to be, you know, whatever. I mean, there they are. They're called a familiar spirit.
Right.
So how do we deal with that, and what do we do with that? That's really what we're going to go after here today. So to do that, really, we have to deal with this passage in Scripture, because this is where people always go. They always say, well, you know, Saul went in there and Samuel, you know, so let's go for it and see what actually happened there.
Yeah.
And then come from that and see where we're at in our world today. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So we are in 1 Samuel, And we are in chapter 28 and verse 7. In verse 6, it tells us what you just said, Pete, that the Lord is not answering him. He's not speaking to him anymore. This is a problem.
So how did God speak to Samuel? I mean, speak to Saul.
Well, he spoke to him through Samuel. Mm-hmm. I don't know. He may have spoken to him directly himself.
Because there's a, I guess what I'm getting at is that we become familiar with how God speaks to us. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes he speaks to us in and through the Word of God. Mm-hmm. You know, when we can be digitally looking at the Word of God. We're reading, we're hearing the Word of God. There are people that can prophesy, that can come for us, that can mm-hmm. say, hey, you know what, you might not know me, but bloop. Mm-hmm. Which was the case recently of a word that was given to a couple mm-hmm. years ago that brought forth a huge manifestation of wealth.
Yeah.
So there's these different ways that God is speaking to people. Saul has his way that God has been speaking to him, and he realizes that God is not speaking any longer, and Samuel is dead.
But you get the implication here, though. This has been going on for a while. Because mm-hmm. if you check back into earlier in 1 Samuel, I mean, what Saul's trying to pin David to the wall with a spear while David's playing the harp to try to calm him down from his demonized state.
Wow.
That's kind of heavy. And the thing about Saul, too, is through all this, and you can read the chapters that go right before this, Saul will not repent.
Right.
Why and all that, we're not really explained why. We're just told that he doesn't repent. He's hardened. He's set on his own pride, his own dynasty, his own deal, and this threat that David is to him just totally eats him. And in fact, you read in chapter 18, at one of these occurrences, he becomes extremely angry. And the next verse says, an evil spirit comes and enters him.
So, I don't like the idea of that. I'll say,
well,
I don't like the idea that if I get that mad, that there could be something else that is giving me thoughts to proceed with certain actions.
Yeah, like killing people.
Like killing people.
Right.
Like, right.
Right, or harming them, or yeah, whatever. I mean, yeah.
And so we can look around. I mean, at what age do you realize that there are angry people in the world? Mm-hmm. Where it becomes, you're very cognitive of it.
Right.
And one of them is while you are driving.
On the freeway.
I mean, they have a term for it.
Right.
Like, yeah, you're on the freeway. People are mad. They're upset. Whatever people are encountering in life, it seems like anger tends to have its way in a predominant. It's a predominant influence.
Right. And notice, listener, what we're not saying here, every time somebody gets mad, they get a demon.
No.
But in extreme cases of rage, perhaps, something happens in the human heart. There's a gateway, there's a doorway that's let down where this can and certainly happen to Saul. That's what's described there. But the thing with Saul is he will not repent. And he actually knows and says, you read through some of these previous passages here, as he's hunting David, and David, remember, David comes in while he's sleeping, cuts off a piece of his of his cloak, and he's standing on the other side of the valley, hey, you know. I mean, he knows David could have killed him with one stroke of the sword. He was sleeping.
Right. The other time they took his water jug and his spear.
Right.
Hey.
Yeah. And so, but with all of that, Saul gets harder and harder and harder. And it's his pride, it's his rebellion, and add on to that, a demonization. And you're headed for big trouble. And now God's not speaking to him.
Right.
So Saul says to his servants, verse 7, now in chapter 28, Find me a woman who is a medium that I may go to her and inquire of her. I got to get an answer from the spiritual side, and God's not listening. Danger, warning, red flags, whoa.
Wowee. Yeah, you remember driving through certain towns downtown where you'd see the hand.
Oh yeah.
You'd see a hand up in a picture window.
Yep. And the red, it was always red, wasn't it?
Yeah, red hand, and yep. It's got symbols on it. Yep. There's like
a reader,
palm readers,
right, and tarot cards. Yep, and all this stuff. Turning away from the Lord to the other side to get spiritual information. And that's exactly what Saul did here.
Well, there's a desperation.
There is.
Okay.
And so they tell him, yep, there's a woman over in Endor who's a medium. So Saul disguises himself, puts on other clothes. Mm. Two men went with him, came to the woman by night and said, please conduct a seance for me and bring up for me the one I shall name for you. Mm. Now the irony of this is,
right,
this woman, it sounds like she used to be one and she's laid off of it because Saul in his earlier days was enforcing the law of Moses, which you shall not allow a witch to live, and several other commands out of the law of Moses.
So she stops.
Right, and she says, look, you know what Saul has done, how he has cut off the mediums and spiritists from the land, and why do you lay a snare for my life to cause me to die? Mm. And Saul swore to her by the Lord, saying, as I don't know what good Saul swearing by the Lord does, because he's not, but he is still king.
Well, it is bringing comfort. Yeah, he might be king, but she doesn't know that he's king.
Right. As the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing. Then the woman said, whom shall I bring up for you? And he said, bring up Samuel for me. Yeah, no.
That's kind of the kicker for her.
Right.
Don't you think?
Right.
Wait,
why Samuel? You know. But
what a reputation she must have.
Right, but the text does not tell us just what she does. She does something, but when the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice.
Right.
That's not supposed to happen in a seance.
Do tell.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I've never been to one, but the descriptions I've heard, the seancer is supposed to be in complete control of the situation,
right,
or really nasty things can happen. So she is not in control. She cries out.
Man,
because here's the thing. This is what I think. Now, the text doesn't say this in this words,
okay,
in these words. What she is used to when she did this, even if it was years ago, mm-hmm, is these demons that can be called up, and they can, you can tell them what to do. If you're in this league and compact with them,
right,
go appear to so-and-so and do-to-loo. He needs to see, you know, Aunt Nellie, so be Aunt Nellie and go over there. That's
right.
A familiar spirit.
Right.
That's what she was used to. What's happening here is that she's not used to, because God intervenes.
Wow. Okay, I like it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when she saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice, and the woman spoke to Saul, saying, why have you deceived me? For you are Saul. Dude.
Yeah.
And the king said to her, do not be afraid. What did you see? The woman said to Saul, I saw a spirit ascending out of the earth.
So do you think that Saul's not seeing this?
In a normal seance, she's got to be making these vows and oaths and words and all this stuff and conjuring up these demons to do what the person wants done.
Right.
She's not doing that. She's just standing there watching, at least for what we're told
right
here.
She sees
I saw a spirit yeah ascending up out of the earth. And he said to her, what is his form? She said, an old man is coming up. He is covered with a mantle. Mm. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed down. Now, this is not a familiar spirit. The medium lady here, woman here, is simply reporting what's happening. She's not causing this.
Mm.
It's very important to bear in mind, because people like to use this scripture to say, well, you know, you can mess around because Saul did, and then Samuel came, and it was, you know. No.
You got to be pretty immature to say because Saul did.
Right.
If you knew, right? Like, you know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right.
Okay, all right.
So Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?
He's still an old guy.
He's still an old guy. And okay. Saul answered, I am deeply distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me and does not answer me anymore, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called you, that you may reveal to me what I should do. Well, listen, Saul, there's a reason why all that happened. You say God departed from you, but you departed from him.
Mm.
It's a two-way street.
Right.
Then Samuel said, why do you ask me, seeing the Lord has departed from you and has become your enemy?
Mm. Wow.
And the Lord has done for himself as he spoke by me, for the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David. This is the thing that had been grinding on
yeah.
Saul for years and years now. He knows this is true.
Right.
His own son, Jonathan, is David's best friend.
Yeah.
Jonathan, who's supposed to be the prince to receive the kingdom from Saul when he dies, Jonathan, no, let's give it to David.
Give it to David.
Yeah, I know. And he's enraged,
right.
This constant gnawing at his inner man, and he won't let go of it, even though he knows there's spots and places through this story where Saul has to know, at least with his rational mind, God's hand is on him.
What do you do when you find yourself in that kind of a situation? You know what I mean? We can't answer that now, but that's
right.
What's running through my mind. I'm like,
right.
What can I do now that I have found myself in this kind of a place that I begin to question whether or not God's hearing me anymore?
He crossed over the line. And when you cross over that line, you're not coming back. This is what, and talking about New Covenant, this is what John in 1 John calls the sin that leads to death.
Wow.
You don't come back.
See, the enemy, it's like the enemy could use that and say, yeah, see, God's not talking
sure
to
he
him,
does.
Right?
Yeah.
And when that might not, that's...
May not be the case.
May not be the case.
Right.
But he could throw despair up on you pretty quickly if you don't continue to draw near unto God.
And here's the prime question.
What is it?
Do you want to come back to God?
There you go.
Saul did not want to come back to God. Saul wanted another easy way out around the side. Hey, get me a medium here. We'll get something going.
How's that working for you?
Yeah, right.
An easy way out. Okay.
So, verse 18, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord or execute his fierce wrath on Amalek, that goes all the way back to the beginning of Saul's reign.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, the Lord has done this thing to you today. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with you into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me in the afterlife.
Dude.
Dead.
What?
The Lord will also deliver the army of Israel into the hand of the Philistines.
Everybody you know, these are your guys.
You wanted to talk to Samuel? Here you go. Now, when you talk to the real Samuel, which is what happened here, this witch of Endor, of course, would have much preferred if she could have got one of her demons up there to imitate Samuel. Well, don't worry, Saul, it's all going to turn out okay. You know, it's just you know, what familiar spirits do. All right, so differently than this story in the Bible, even though there are some similarities, that is a person coming up from the dead, but a familiar spirit, first of all, the word familiar,
ooh.
It is a spirit,
yeah.
An evil spirit, that was familiar with the person in their lifetime here on the earth. Now, think about this, listener. When we talk about people who have died, what does the New Testament teach us about where they are?
You mean when
They're floating around on the earth as spooks. They haven't quite settled down yet. You never know where they're going to land. That's movie land. That's Hollywood, okay? Oh. That's not Bible. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So the spirits of departed people, Christians in particular, are in heaven with the Lord. They're not floating around here on this earth. No. It's impossible.
And in the case of Samuel, he was in the ground.
He was. That was pre-Jesus.
Right, and that's a different covenant.
Right, the whole Old Testament setup, which is another subject for another day.
It is. It's exciting.
Right,
it's good.
Right.
Yeah.
But so these familiar spirits are demon spirits that knew the person, probably followed them closely. They can imitate the voice. Sometimes they even take the form of the person. In the case of my own father, this is how I know about this. My own father, who was a pastor for most of his adult life and a man of God. But when he died, it wasn't long. My mom and my brother were living in this house together. Mm. And several times, quote unquote, my dad came walking up the steps, knocking on the door. They looked out at him. They heard the voice.
My.
And saw his form, and it looked like him. But they knew enough. First, there was somewhat of a, you know, should we do this? But they knew enough to say, no way. Finally, as I understand the story, on the last time, they said, no, get out of here. And, I mean, imagine that. My mom's widowed heart. I mean, this is nasty stuff, you know, and she's in heaven now, too. But this thing is walking down the steps. I guess I'm not wanted here. And that's
heartbreaking.
That's a low blow, you know?
Yeah, but that's what he does.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a low blow guy.
Exactly.
Wow.
And every one of these encounters that I'm familiar with, they bring fear, they bring confusion, they bring wondering about all these kinds of subjects. And that's why you got to be grounded in the Word to know what God says about this, not what your human imagination wants to dream up.
Right.
Because if you're a month out, you know, you're 6 months out from a loved one's departure, I mean, who wouldn't want to see him and talk to him again?
Right.
It's a natural human desire.
Right.
But it's not going to happen. If you enter into that realm, you're going to be deceived.
My goodness. Well, we have opened up a door here.
Yes, sir.
Because when we look about us, and you think about books that are on bestseller lists, we take a look at Hollywood over the last 25, 30 years. What are the themes? Right? If you were to take just a little look down that road, what do you think you would see? What have you heard?
Well, there's a lot of chasing of UFOs. And we'll take that up maybe tomorrow.
Huh? Oh, do you think?
Oh, I think so. I think we should.
Oh, my word. UFOs, Doc. We're going deep.
We're going deep. I mean, and all this stuff we're talking about here today with spirits and even just a pagan secular view of the afterlife. Listener, beware of this. This is shot through the movies.
Wow,
this is shot through television series.
It is.
Well, you know, Uncle Elmer came the other night, and he said, do-do-do-do-do. Oh, what do you think we should do?
Mm-hmm.
I call on the name of Jesus and get rid of him.
Yes.
It isn't Uncle Elmer.
Yes.
It's a familiar spirit that knew Uncle Elmer so well he can imitate his voice, can even take on his form.
His form, his gait,
yep.
His look, his
right.
Demeanor.
Right.
Man. Somebody Look, hey, devil, get off. Quit. Hey, don't be looking around here.
Yeah.
Get off of me.
Amen.
So,
so our response.
Yeah.
That is exactly it.
I like that a lot.
So this is where the gifts of the Holy Spirit are so important, especially discerning of spirits. I mean, what better place to use the gift of discerning of spirits when these things start showing up?
Right.
And then your authority that is in the name of Jesus, believer. Set it in your mind and heart and help other people with this. I run into people all the time that if you just talk to them a little bit and somehow this subject comes up, well, you know, my cousin was over there in Kansas and Aunt Nellie came and talked to him 6 months after she died. You'll run into this. It's out there.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
It is.
And realize what these spirits are coming to do is sow confusion. They're coming to sow doubt.
Wow.
They're coming to sow contention among family members, all that kind of stuff. Any way they can get a toehold or a foothold in. And we are going to say no in the name of Jesus. We're going to identify them. I mean, they're pretty easy to identify once you understand this.
Right.
Oh, and here's another thing that happens with them too, that tricks people into thinking that it really is that person. He came the other night and he told me something only he and I knew.
Oh, boy.
I was out in the boat with him fishing that time, you know, and this was my grandpa, and he said, you know, no, he never said that to anybody else, but now he came that last night and he said that. That's got to be grandpa, right? No, there was somebody there in the boat with you besides grandpa.
Yeah, don't think that your acts and your conversations are ever unheard, because the Lord knows what we say and what we do. And there's a constant recording.
And there is a network of the evil kingdom that is around. And they don't see and hear everything, but they see many things.
Right. Because they're not omnipresent.
They're not omnipresent.
Can't be everywhere.
But they are spiritual beings. And they remember what they hear.
That's why it's good to move around. No, I'm kidding. Wow, Doc. So how do you think we bring it close to what we're talking about here?
I think we realize that Jesus has given us the authority to stand against these and not be deceived by them. The Bible says we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. This is one of his devices.
Mm.
So once you've heard this now, listener, you're not ignorant of this anymore.
Right.
And you cannot be deceived by this.
Amen.
Or confused or put into doubt or even their ultimate goal would be to draw you away from Jesus.
Right. So if that's the case, do the opposite.
Exactly.
Draw near unto Jesus. Take time today. You know, maybe you find yourself not that far away from him, but to shore up, let's shore up today what we know to be true, and that is that the Word of God does not deceive us, that it keeps us whole, that he is there to give us a plan. God has a plan for your life to move you forward, to do good things and to be a provision for others because he provides for you, not to cause you to look back and to reminisce on things that once were.
That's right. So let's pray for these listeners, Pete.
Yeah,
Father, we just come in the name of Jesus right now. We thank you for this truth from your word. We thank you, Lord, that these precious sons and daughters of yours, Father, are going to rise up in the truth. And first of all, for themselves and their own families, discerning of spirits, words of prophecy, the word of God clearly spoken, those things that Saul had taken away from him. They're not taken away from us. We are children of the living God, and the Holy Spirit is poured out upon us. And so, Lord, we just ask for that thing first, for ourselves and in our own families. But then, Lord, make them emissaries, make them ambassadors of this good news of, that Jesus has won the victory over these things. You don't have to listen to these. You don't have to have these things playing on your emotions and bringing in that confusion and doubt because of who Jesus is. And if your loved ones were in the faith when they died, here is the assurance. It's the scriptures. It's the assurance in our own hearts. They're in heaven with Jesus. And you're going to see them. You are going to see them again someday. Either when you die and go to heaven or when Jesus comes in the second coming. And we just release the truth and the faith of that over you now. In that holy name.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.